Good morning. We thank you for tuning into our radio program today. This program is brought to you each Sunday morning by the Parkway Church of Christ here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. We hope that you will come and meet with us for our services and Bible study classes. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock for Bible classes. We meet together or continue to meet together on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for worship, and then 6 o'clock Sunday evenings for worship. Bible study again on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. And we hope you'll bring your Bible with you. If you don't have a Bible, we'll provide you with one to use. We want you to focus your attention upon the Scriptures rather than upon anything that we might say. We want you to listen to us only to the extent that we speak where the Bible speaks. We speak where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible is silent. Beyond that, we don't encourage you to respect anything that we have to say when we presume to speak on behalf of God. There are other topics out there that we might talk about, is my point, but when it comes to our service to God, His Word is our guide. And I want us to talk about that a little bit. Last week we talked about Bible inspiration, and I was thinking today as I was reading something about a world organization who has just come out and issued a risk warning for the United States because of some things that have happened that are not supportive of the gay and lesbian and trans queer movement, intersex movement, asexual movement, all the letters of that they're now putting from the alphabet for that description. And I thought that was rather humorous, given what we actually see in our culture today. It seems to me that the acceptance of homosexuality, the legalization of gay marriage, and all of that would seem to suggest quite a bit of support for the gay movement. But they are now issuing a risk advisory regarding the United States. And it made me think about standards. And one of the things that they pointed out in this article was that the risk had to do with the risk of people becoming so resistant to homosexuality and transgenderism and the gay movement that it could lead to violence. And yet what we often see when it comes to violence is it's carried out not by the opponents of the homosexual movement and transgender movements, and those similar to it. Some of them are quite overlapped with each other. But it comes from within that community, and it's always the result of rejection of standards. It's always. Whether it's committed by a straight person or a gay person, it's always the rejection of standards that's involved in that. And I want us to talk about that a little bit today. Why is it? And I think this is a good question for us to consider from the standpoint of free agency, but also from the standpoint of fixed standards. Now, friends, we're going to talk about both of those. This is where people, I think, have a lot of trouble understanding what their responsibilities are and also what their limitations are. Responsibilities, that is, what they can do or should do and be proactive, versus what they are allowed to do. And we need to be very careful to allowed to accept or allowed to reject. We need to be careful to understand the difference between free agency and the idea of a fixed standard. So we need to consider teaching on both, and we will do that this morning. But I was thinking about this article, and it really made me think of what has caused this backlash. Right now, I think Target has lost $15 billion. $15 billion as a result of their marketing campaign as we've been talking about, they're pushing the gay agenda even in the advertising and on clothing and words and phrases and concepts that they're pushing on clothes, even for children as young as toddlers. And then small children. And so there was some backlash from that, and they're paying financially for that. So that's one of the things that was mentioned in this article, was what's happening with Target. The other thing that was mentioned, of course, was the Budweiser matter. They've lost almost $30 billion, almost $30 billion. So Target's lost about $15 billion, Budweiser's lost about $30 billion because of the Dylan Mulvaney thing and pushing the what we call woke, and included in that is the transgender acceptance of the transgender philosophy of a man simply putting on woman face is all that is. Men dressing up like women. You know, I like to remind people that sometimes it hits me that those who believe that we're under the law of Moses, they ought to think that through a little bit. There was strict condemnation under the law of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 22. For one woman who would put on the apparel of a man, or a man who would put on women's garments. And so that's kind of interesting. However, there is a principle there that's carried forth from that passage into the New Testament. Anytime you read a passage like in 1 Corinthians 11, where the roles, and even reflected in the attire of men and women, where the roles are different, then you see that principle. So we shouldn't shun that entirely. But when it comes to the punishments for the violations of those laws, I think there'd be a lot of people today who would not want to be under the law of Moses as much as they may play like they would like to be under the law of Moses, where you had death penalties for various things, including, by the way, homosexuality, bestiality, other types of sexual immorality, adultery, sexual immorality. So people need to really think that through and be careful. But I want today to think about this. Why this backlash? Why the boycotts against Target and against Budweiser? Well, a lot of this comes down to the gay community and the transgender community pushing their agenda on young people. It seems to me, as we think about this, while this was left in the realm of free agency, people were willing to classify this sin like they would other sins. That is, people commit sins in the privacy of their homes, or they commit sins that do not harm other people. But when you start practicing a sin, a preference, some people call it a preference or a sexual preference, when you start doing it where it injures other people, particularly young people, particularly those who have not had the time in their lives or reached the point in their lives where they're able to make rational, reasonable decisions based upon the evidence, based upon the arguments, based upon the standards. That's what became the problem. The drag queen story hour, which was all that is, friends, as you see these things across the country, churches. I read last week where a church was engaged in providing opportunity for drag queen story hour, and children were going to be present. Children are being indoctrinated. That's what's happening. The term that's often used is rather kind. And non-offensive, groomers. You know, really what we're talking about there is people indoctrinating little children, desensitizing them when these burly men dress up like women and put on woman face, basically. They put on woman face, and then they're trying to desensitize them and trying to acclimate them to this, making it normal and acceptable. That's what's going on. Most, as we know, of these people out there who are willing to engage in that type of outrageous behavior and wear the types of things that they are in public are just sexual perverts. And that's coming out. We're beginning to see now what's motivating a lot of this. They're pedophiles or homosexuals. And so let's just be honest about this. That's what we're seeing with a lot of these men dressing up as women type thing. So I want us to think about what may be going on here. and the difference between the free agency and the violation or utter disregard for a foreign established standard. Those both need to be considered. I have been very clear over the years. I've came to realize that as God is right about everything else, He's right about this. When it comes to our efforts to teach other people, that there are actually certain limitations placed upon us when it comes to how much ability we have, how much power we have to affect the thinking of other people. For example, Jesus talked about in the limited commission. He instructed the disciples to go forth. He told them that in some cases you would be accepted and received, and if so, let your peace If so, stay in the house where the people support you. Stay with them. Verses 13, 14 of Matthew chapter 10. But he said, whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, in verse 14, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. What is his point there? Well, let's put another verse with this. In Titus chapter 3, in verses 10 and 11, Paul said, a man who is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, for he who is such is subverted and sins, being condemned of himself. In other words, limit yourself when it comes to people who have expressed that they have no interest in truth, they have no interest in what you have to say, they have no interest in the standard that you hold to and that you're trying to encourage them to follow. The standard that will save their souls. What if a person says, you know what, I appreciate your efforts, but I have no interest in being saved. I have no interest in hearing the Bible. Well, that's what we're talking about. That's Matthew 10, verse 14. That's exactly what that is. What if you have someone who's maybe was a Christian, but gone off into some rank heresy and has doomed his own soul and is putting other people in danger? How much of your life do you spend, according to Titus chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, trying to dissuade that person, trying to convert that person back to what they were before? Well, not your entire life. You don't become obsessed with it and deal with that just exclusively and think that every day of your life you need to talk to that person. No, you put forth these two efforts. You put forth these multiple but limited efforts to convert them, to help them, to turn them around. And if they don't do it, then he is to be rejected. We see that language all through the New Testament. This is the teaching of Jesus. Now, why is it this way? It's this way because of the nature of the conscience and free agency. That's why it's this way. Free agency. In other words, God has given us the ability, the power. He's not given us the authority, the right to do whatever we want to do. But he's given us the ability to do that. He's given us free agency. He's given us the ability to choose. It's just like what Joshua said to the people over in Joshua chapter 24 and in verse 15, when he said, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day. You make the choice. It's like he's talked about, whether it be the gods on the other side of the river, that is of the Euphrates, the gods of the Babylonians and the Assyrians, or whether it be the gods of Egypt. But he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So there's a choice. He said, choose who you will serve. And it's just like in 1 Kings chapter 18 with Elijah. How long, he said, halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then serve Him. If Baal, then serve Him. Now that's interesting. Was it acceptable? Was it right for the people to serve Baal, the pagan deity? No, it was sinful. Huge swaths of people were executed, killed by God for the practice of idolatry and the sinful practices that were connected to it. Now, it wasn't right. They weren't authorized to do that. They weren't at liberty to do that. They couldn't do it and still be pleasing to God. But could they do it? Did they have the ability? Did they have the power? They did. They did. Some of you may be thinking, I thought authority and power are the same thing. No, they're not exactly the same thing. There's a little overlap in their meaning with respect to doing something and ability to do something. But there's a difference between the power to do something and being justified in doing that thing. And so free agency includes that distinction. However, this is the reason that we've had the backlash. This is why some people have opted to practice boycotts against certain stores, certain businesses, because of their full-on assault against marriage. That is, marriage that is authorized by God, a marriage between a man and a woman. The attacks on marriage and the home. And certainly, and friends, I believe this was the real killer. If people want to analyze this, I think it comes down to this. Pushing these godless agendas on children. I think that's where people began to balk. People thought, no, I don't want my children seeing this. We just saw the situation somewhat of an uprising out in a school in California when they had the little drag queen. These basically perverts. Sexual perverts, drag queen story hour for some little children. And parents said, no, we don't want that being done here at our school. And that's what parents need to do. And parents do need to, and I'm calling for this. Parents do, it's our tax dollars. The only reason the Department of Education can exist, and the only reason that you can have the dissemination of the various teaching materials that are used, that sent out to schools, or various programs or plans that are used for the individual public schools. The only reason any of this can happen is because we pay our taxes. We pay our federal taxes, we pay our state taxes, our school taxes. And the money goes to all that. Do parents who are funding these programs, anything related to school and public education, the education of their children, do they have the right to say something about this? Absolutely. And when parents, when enough of them, friends, this is just very simple. It always happens this way. When enough of them rise up together and say, we are not doing this. We're not going to allow this. We're not going to fund it. This is not happening in our schools. When that happens, friends, it'll stop. It'll stop. People just need to have the courage, pull together, and do that. And, by the way, a lot of people are. They're saying that this is gone too far. Now, so what are people, reasonable people, doing on this? Let me show you the biblical principle at work here. The biblical principle that is at work. Now, there are two things taught in Romans chapter 13 regarding governance. You have governance, that is, what God ordained, what God authorized, or established with regard to civil government. And civil government is first talked about in Romans 13. Most people who are Bible students are familiar with these verses. And, of course, I always like to point out that it's pretty obvious if you read this passage, you know, some people don't. Some people just read the last words of verse 1, where it says that these civil authorities are ordained of God. Then they have this sort of fill-in-the-blank approach to this, and they think, well, this must mean this. This must mean that God miraculously installs people like presidents and others in political and leadership, civil leadership positions, and so whatever they say, that's what we have to do. Some people were saying that during the COVID arguments in the COVID era, where churches were being shut down. Well, you know, the government is ordained of God. I heard this until I was sick of it, and of course I know this audience got sick of hearing me be critical of it, so I'll not keep doing that today. But that's just a great example in our recent past of how far this can go. And I pointed out, and I always have, that actually Romans 13, when it speaks of the civil government, speaks of what God ordained with regard to their work, their function. That is abundantly clear in verses 3 and 4. Even when it says, talks about paying taxes in verse 7, I'll never forget when I wrote my article on this, what God ordained with regard or with respect to civil government. Several people wrote me and they said, but it says that we're supposed to pay our taxes. Of course, they cited Matthew 22, and it was a Jewish tax. It's not even talking about what we are here in Romans 13. But I do admit that in Romans chapter 13, in verses 6 and 7, it talks about taxes. Now, what is the reason, Paul, for paying taxes? He said, for this cause. What cause? Well, the cause that he said in verses 3 and 4 that civil government is for the praise of those who do good and for the punishment of those who do evil. For this cause, if we can, you know, it's just a matter of reading, respecting context. If you're reading this, you would have already read verses 3 and 4, you'd have already read verse 1, and you get into verse 6, and verse 6 says, for this cause you pay tribute. That's so clear, friends, it just jumps off the pages right at you. And hits you right between the eyes. It's very clear he's talking about the God-ordained function of government. Then he's talking about this function is the reason why we pay taxes. So number one, you've got that. Now, is it the function of government to indoctrinate young children into a gay lifestyle? Or to encourage them to basically destroy their bodies as God designed them from Genesis chapter 1, to basically destroy their bodies with surgeries and drugs to try to change a boy, a male, a biological male into a female, or a biological female into a male? No, that's not the function of government. It's right for parents to rise up and say, our tax dollars are not for that. It's right because that's what Romans 13 teaches. I have a moral obligation to take that stand. But I want you to notice something else. He goes on, he leaves the subject of civil government and talks about the higher law. He talks about God's standard. Loving one another is the fulfilling of the law. But okay, let's think about that a little bit. A lot of people say that. Now you're getting to my point. We need to love one another. If you love these drag queens enough, you would welcome them indoctrinating your little children, or in my case, 9 grandchildren. Oh, Tim, you ought to appreciate what they're trying to do, grooming your grandchildren into accepting all kinds of sexual perversity. Yeah, that's what they claim that love involves. Now, friends, I want you to notice something. Love is the fulfilling of the law. So what does it not do? Well, he says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery. This is in the New Testament. This is Romans 13:9, and he's restating, and I like to say reinstating some of the Ten Commandments. But he's citing Ten Commandments here, some of them. And he says, you shall not kill. Now, friends, I want you to think about that one real hard. Think about that one very strongly. You shall not kill. You shall not steal. Okay? You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love works no harm to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. You see how people have hijacked the word love? And they claim that Bible followers, Bible believers, people who call themselves Christians or religious, are hypocrites. They say you're hypocrites because you don't actually practice the love that your Bible talks about. Wait a minute. How is love defined here? Love does not commit adultery with your neighbor's wife. Love does not do that to your spouse. Love does not do that to your neighbor or your neighbor's wife. You see? What about killing someone? Friends, here is the difference between, when it comes to free agency and how it works, the incorporation of a standard in the exercise of free agency. There's a lot of things that a person might do that are wrong, that do not harm their neighbor, that is other people. A lot of things. That our sins can be committed in the mind that don't harm anyone else. But God opposes them. They're still sinful and wrong, but they're not harming someone else. What about murder? If we throw out all standards, what about murder? Paul has already talked about homosexuality in Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, and condemned it. What does it do to society? What is the practice of homosexuality? But especially when it becomes so brazen, why is it that some people who practice some types of sexual perversion want so hard to affect, to convert? And that's what this is all about. It's a big conversion plan to convert young people to their way. Well, of course, there are multiple reasons for that, psychological, but also from the standpoint of gaining numbers, and support. But people love the moral support. They love the acceptance of the thing. You start young enough with a young person, you're going to get them to be very accepting of your flamboyant, sinful behavior. And that's what these drag queens are doing. Make no mistake about it. This is not just fun time. The video clips you'll see online or in the news may somewhat portray it that way. Most of it is lewd and lascivious. I've said before, if you put a woman doing these shows in the same costumes, the same clothing that these men are wearing, it would be unauthorized. People would object to it. So I fail to understand what's happening here. It's just simple insanity. People are, as the old-timers used to say, so open-minded, or trying to be so open-minded to this, that their brains are falling out on the ground. That's how open-minded they are. But the problem is, they're more open-minded than God. What about murder? Well, you're harming your neighbor. Does anyone believe that we ought to just legalize murder? You know, well, couldn't you make the argument, if you can make it for adultery or other sexual sins and sexual perversions, couldn't you make the argument that if you really loved your neighbor, you would support his killing his other neighbors? Couldn't you do that? I mean, if you can do it on one sin, why can't you do it on the other? But wait a minute. Love does no harm to his neighbor. What about slandering your neighbor? There are slander laws. Is it good to have a slander law? Yes. Because you can absolutely destroy someone by misrepresenting them and lying about them and accusing them of any number of things. Christians get done this way all the time. And friends, the more outspoken you are on something, the more this is going to happen. No, it's the balance between the free agency and the standard. There's a balance there. When we begin to harm other people, that's my point about this, that I started out with in the program. People wondering, well, it looks like some Americans have now gone the other way and they're not as accepting of transgenderism and homosexuality as they once were. I'll tell you what happened. What happened is when people started pushing this on children, and that's just very obvious. That's exactly what happened. And so he mentions false witness, and he says if there's anything else that is any other commandment, and there are many of them. Look at all the instructions that are given regarding our behavior. What about extortion? Paul's going to talk about in 1 Corinthians. Or other types of sin. What about abuse and railing? Do we want to allow that? What about these attacks we're seeing committed by people in some of these big cities, just open daylight attacks and assaults on people that that cause brain damage and other things? Do we want to allow that? No, there has to be a standard. Our time is up today. We thank you for listening. Hope you'll tune in next week. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day.